WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The 2024 presidential campaign may be heading into uncharted waters. The Supreme Court is set to issue what many expect will be a landmark ruling tomorrow on former President Donald Trump's claim of legal immunity while he was president. CBS News chief legal correspondent Jan Crawford.
I see zero chance they're going to embrace Donald Trump's argument that he has absolute immunity and can't be prosecuted. I think they're going to say that there is some immunity for the official actions of a president.
And unease within the Democratic Party does not seem to be lessening any since President Biden's debate performance Thursday night. Jennifer DePinto is Deputy Director of Elections and Surveys for CBS News with the latest CBS numbers. Not looking good for the president.
For months, voters have expressed doubts about whether President Joe Biden has the cognitive health to serve as president. And now those doubts have grown. After the debate, nearly three quarters of the electorate, 72% of voters, don't think he has that cognitive health. And that includes 4 in 10. In his own party.
With calls for the president to step aside continuing, Biden is reportedly meeting with family and aides at Camp David this weekend. His friend, Delaware Democratic Senator Chris Coons, is urging him to stay in the race.
He was proud that he gave a strong speech at a campaign event in North Carolina. He gave a strong speech in New York. He's had a great few days, and it's building on a great few years. No one has been a stronger and more consequential president in my lifetime than Joe Biden.
Senator Coons appeared on ABC's This Week. CBS News has learned that the Justice Department will propose Boeing plead guilty to fraud in connection with two deadly plane crashes involving its 737 MAX jetliners. People who heard prosecutors outline the offer say Boeing will have until the end of the coming week to accept or to reject that offer. Hurricane Beryl is now an extremely dangerous Category 4 storm that is expected to bring life-threatening winds and flash flooding to the Caribbean. Beryl is now located east-southeast of Barbados with maximum sustained winds of 130 miles per hour. CBS's David Parkinson says Beryl is heading toward Barbados, St. Lucia, Grenada, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Tobago.
This is the first time there has ever been a Category 4 in the month of June, and this is the first time that there has ever been a storm this strong this far east in any month.
Beryl is on track to move across the Windward Islands early Monday as an extremely dangerous Category 4 hurricane before traveling through the southeastern Caribbean Monday night and Tuesday. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Your community.
For Civic Media
News, Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Visit any Wisconsin farmer's market and chances are you'll find Hmong vendors.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Clear tonight, lows in the upper 40s. Mostly cloudy, breezy for Monday, highs near 73. Lows of 55 Monday night with a chance of a shower. Showers and thunderstorms are likely for Tuesday, with a high near 71, breezy once again. Sunny and 80 on Wednesday.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally Radio, 97.5 FM, and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Older Hmong farmers, farming is therapeutic for them. They're making a little bit of money, but also farming and gardening makes them happy. The difference is that these younger farmers, they want farming to be financially sustainable.
Says land access is a major challenge for emerging Hmong farmers. Her group is working
Hello, world.
With partners
Welcome
like the
to
Michael
WFHR's
Fields
Director's
Agricultural
cut for this
Institute
April 30th
to create funding
session,
solutions to address this problem.
Yang
would also like to see policy adjustments dealing with how
Hmong
a farmer can net land.
And there's a new your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, with my
Yang
partner in
more
art,
support
our head of production, Seth Habhager.
She feels giving younger Hmong farmers peace of mind might inspire them to further explore what they grow and sell.
Unlike Minnesota and the Twin Cities, where where there's such a concentration of Hmong consumers.
And not only that, everybody,
the company is sort of scattered throughout the state.
That means these farmers have to focus more on marketing mainstream fruits and vegetables to non-Hmong
customers. Enjoying ourselves and having fun with this show.
But Yang suggests that groups like hers get more bandwidth. The next generation Hmong producers will be in a better position to grow culturally specific food. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Area for decades. We're also going to be able to take some time talking about the last two albums, the connection of those albums, Jeff Weevil, and a number of other topics. I just want to talk to you guys.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Clear tonight, lows in the upper 40s. Mostly cloudy, breezy for Monday, highs near 73. Lows of 55 Monday night with a chance of a shower. Showers and thunderstorms are likely for Tuesday, with a high near 71, breezy once again. Sunny and 80 on Wednesday.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, Mark Jacob will join us to critique how national media did in covering the first presidential debate.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
3-9.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
How long have I been here?
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic
Media.
Travis
Planico, and I've been in the band. I don't have a calculator.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin for all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2. First up, we go to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Pete and Conrad discuss National Swim a Lap Day and National Lightning Awareness Week, and joke around about how they would combine the two.
In Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood.
I forgot to say I'm a drummer too, by the way. Travis Planico, drummer.
And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Schwabe.
Yeah, I got 34 years in along with Milo, and
welcome to the show. Welcome to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe here, broadcasting statewide all over our beautiful state from our downtown Green Bay studios here at WGBW. Great to have you with me tonight. Hope you had a great weekend. Although it was weird because I, you know, on the Civic Media chat, all I heard about were tornadoes and terrible weather. And we just didn't have any of that up here. What was it like here, Conrad? Green Bay wasn't too bad, was it?
It was a little rainy in the morning after that. Yeah. Sunshine. This area.
Yeah, same. So hopefully, wherever you are in the state, you're safe, and you did not sustain too much damage, whether it's just, even if it's not a tornado, wind can do some terrible things. How are you doing? Did you have a good weekend?
You know, I had a good weekend. Hung out with a friend that I haven't seen in a little bit in Appleton. So that was fun.
Nice. Would you, hit the bars there or something?
We tried a new place out called Mr. Brew's Tap House in Appleton, and it was really good. Had a lot of beers on tap.
Twice already. What if you're just making that up? What if you and this friend of yours have been robbing banks for like 8 years?
Oh, that reminds me. I did watch Imaginary Friend. Maybe that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, if?
What was the first instrument you picked up? I did watch it, though.
Ben, I know how was it?
About this before, but just if you wouldn't mind touching on
it. For like, I don't know if it's supposed to be a kids' movie or not.
Well, I think
it draws the line.
School band was trumpet.
Because it gets very depressing at some points.
Prior to that, I did a little drum work.
Yes.
And I think my
and then
first
the meaning behind it.
That's why I've stuck with it.
Drums.
I have not seen that yet. I saw Inside Out 2. We'll discuss that in just a minute. But I'm glad you had a good weekend. I'm glad you're not robbing banks. That's not that's good. You know, need it now money, but it's not sustainable, I don't think, in my... Not my experience, but based on what I've read or watched.
The live kick-ass stuff, you know, the Vegas years.
So we have a good show tonight. Rob Thomas is here, and as always, I enjoy talking to Rob about movies and TV and some of the things he's written about on his Substack or at the Capital Times. He reviewed the film Bratz, and I read his review, and I agree with most of it, and I'm anxious to talk to Rob about
it. My dad's stereo, and
I only watched about the first half, so I'm not totally qualified to agree or disagree with him, but... Mostly, I agree, and I just think I guess I don't know why it needed to be made, but there were some entertaining parts about it. And we'll talk. It's not just like a nostalgic trip. Like some of these, and this is what Rob says in the review. It's not a nostalgic trip down memory lane or, oh, remember these movies when we were kids. It's kind of a guy settling a beef. Which I thought was kind of strange.
And into a musical instrument, but
maybe not as interesting. Maybe there's
fourth grade.
It's okay to take a trip down memory lane and just say, "Hey, these were the good old days."
Not a violin, a viola.
Unless you have like a really killer point. Everybody was doing that. Andrew McCarthy had, but
lead guitar players are a dime a dozen.
And then Roger Rappaport will be here at 8:35. Roger was on the show. talking.
So I picked a viola
about his book,
"Searching
for Patty Hearst: A True Crime Novel."
And
he is a writer and filmmaker and a journalist and a very good one. He's very good at all three of those hats that he wears. So Roger is doing a book signing tomorrow at Washington, on Washington Island.
He treated lead guitar players like their quarterbacks.
I have to pull up all this information here because I have it written down. And sure enough,
you can think of and all that. I have a lot of love for the
Fair Isle Books and Gifts. Fair Isle Books and Gifts tomorrow on Washington Island. Roger will be there signing his book about Patty Hearst.
And
there is a connection to Door County in this book and this crime that happened in California decades ago. So we'll talk to Roger about that at 8:35.
I played
getting back to Rob Thomas, tonight's question
kind of my music history. It's pretty short.
Is but what I really regarding the Brat Pack.
And
none of them really kind of came out as phenomenal actors. And it depends who you include in the Brat Pack. Is Tom Cruise part of the Brat Pack? If he is, well, then he's your most successful guy.
We're going to do a Skid Row.
You know, is Kevin Bacon? Yes and no, yeah, people say. Like I think the jury is out on that. But who is your favorite Brat Packer? Who's your most favorite? And who is your least favorite Brat Packer? That is tonight's question. Let's have some fun with this one. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Who is your least favorite Brat Packer? And who is your most favorite Brat Packer?
Milo?
I think I would say...
My first instrument was trumpet.
My opinion has changed.
Third grade, whatever. They start jamming.
But... I think my most favorite is Emilio Estevez because
guitar.
Right on.
He has a famous dad.
Didn't you play trumpet? Didn't you play trumpet there, in your 20s?
I thought he was a pretty good actor when he was young.
But that don't count.
And I think
you were a touring musician, were you?
In watching
The Midwest.
Yeah, you toured with
his interview, Andrew McCarthy's interview with Emilio Estevez. I looked at Emilio Estevez and I was like, he doesn't want to be doing this.
That is really cool.
I think he's being a pal.
You can't gloss over that.
I think Andrew McCarthy has this unhealthy obsession. He turned into a documentary. Not unhealthy, just kind of like
he's no better.
An axe to grind a little bit. And I thought Emilio Estevez just seemed like a good guy. So he has catapulted himself to the top of my Brat Pack list.
I didn't know that.
Or maybe Molly Ringwald. Because she didn't want to do it. She's just like, Sleeping Dogs Lie. I don't need to do this. I don't need to go back.
Early training reels for
those two might be in a tie for my favorite. My least favorite?
I had already played in bands in high school and stuff with Mark.
Probably Judd Nelson?
We weren't on the road to speak. But
they say in the Brat Pack documentary that he kind of wanted to establish himself as the Marlon Brando of the group. I don't really see that. I don't even think he was that great of an actor.
I started...
So... He's probably my least
favorite. Wurlitzer.
Conrad, what do you know about the Brat Pack?
In the living room because my
My favorite
musician. She played
not Brat Packer, but Packer.
She could play banjo and accordion. And
yeah, don't care.
All by ear, nothing learned, no lessons or anything.
I hope you can tell me that. Well, let's do it. Who's your least favorite Packer?
Which I proved
I can't. I can't say it.
You can't say or you don't have one?
I don't have one. I just love all the Packers.
A homer. Oh, my gosh.
Doing organ lessons.
It's Mitty Kaling's birthday today, 45. She turns 45, and she is one of the most underrated office.
One of those ironic things where at the time I cursed her out.
Ensemble members. She's also a writer, and I think eventually became an executive producer of the show, very talented writer, very talented actress. I would say pound for pound. Mindy Kaling and maybe the guy who plays Toby, Paul Lieberstein, I think is his name.
On screen time in Wisconsin Rapids at the piano bar. So
minutes per lap.
One of those
two might be, or Creed. Those three might be my favorite. But Mindy Kaling.
That you play, I played all
hilarious.
And ironically enough, that's where I discovered Jimmy West.
On The Office. I haven't seen her in much else. Although I think she was in,
you know, that sort of pop stuff.
She was just in a kids movie. I was too young to Inside really Out 1, maybe?
Who this guy was. And
anyway.
He gave me my love of songwriting.
That's my thoughts. Those are my thoughts on Mindy Kaling. You have a...
Right on.
So, we have an interesting day today, too. Yeah, this is we always track the national days of the year, folks. We'd like to share them. On this weird equinox, summer solstice, weird moon, sun aligning, it just happens to be National Swim a Lap Day.
I can
and National Lightning Safety Awareness Day.
You know, it
that's crazy.
Is,
Seldom works.
The stars have aligned. These two are happening on the same day. And this is so bizarre.
Look at you through the glass. If
you know, you're not supposed to be in a pool.
I'm on air.
I want to stick with you guys just for a second.
When there's lightning.
You already touched on it a little bit. And we're
Conrad didn't know that.
The band,
he was just being swimming a lap.
And
he was trying to be a good citizen. He saw that it was National Swim a Lap Day, and he went out swimming this morning. Luckily, I saw him.
The origin story for the band. Where's
maybe not in time, but
where do the early days of that band look like?
We should probably just go to the clip, because this is crazy. It's National Swim a Lap Day.
I didn't want to put either of you on the spot.
Coinciding with National Lightning Safety Awareness Day, folks. And this is what happened this morning. We got it all on tape. Go ahead.
With this particular band, it was...
It's National Swim a Lap Day.
The name actually
originated... Gavin, it's also National Lightning Awareness Day! Get out of there!
They were playing at a little infamous blues bar in town called Nasty's.
It could have been much worse.
So we figured if Otis and the Alligators was playing and we had
Conrad?
An opportunity to play, we would be Lars and the
Conrad,
I'm here. I'm
you're a little off today. You okay,
years
buddy?
Later,
did the lightning get you?
We actually
I think it clipped me a little bit.
Just a little bit, though.
Time and
you're lucky. You're lucky to be alive.
It was like you couldn't shake it. So,
Conrad?
It started, you know, back in a jam session.
You're kind of taking a powder in your mind because of the
it's foggy.
A lot of blues.
You just can't do that. Folks, I cannot stress this enough. It is National Swim a Lap Day. For those of you that adhere religiously to the National Days calendar, you got to read. You got to look at both, you know, what's going on. Can't be out swimming during a lightning storm, and Conrad is evidence of that. He'll be okay, though.
Most of our live gigs.
Glad you're okay, buddy.
Without a guitar player for a while.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Yeah, right. Great guitar player, Kevin Stubbs.
You're very welcome.
And then we got a guitar player.
And I want here's how I want to close the first segment of the show. I saw Inside. All right,
Bill who?
I made a vow on the show about a week ago. I said I was going to see both Inside Outs before the end of the week. My goal was before the end of the show week.
The name is appropriate because we've been sort of chameleon-like.
By the end of the technical week.
You know, we were doing a lot of Doors. And
but I saw Inside Out on Friday night. My daughter and I watched it. And we went to see Inside, because I hadn't seen it. And I wanted to see that one before I saw the second one. We went to see Inside Out 2 last night, and I was blown away. It was outstanding.
Just this whole Grateful Dead catalog. So,
and I'm going to say it maybe, I don't know where I'd put it right now. I'm still kind of digesting the film in my top 25 all time.
A little bit more Rolling Stones.
I absolutely
Stones.
Loved it. Better than Inside Out 1,
the
which
next phase
lovely.
Was the show band.
But this film was so good.
And then the next phase was the band
and
where we
same
decided
character.
To be true to ourselves.
Yeah.
And the first one is now going through puberty. And all of her emotions, just like in the first one, are characters in her brain. And they're hilarious. But now they throw in puberty and anxiety. It was so funny and so sweet. I might put it above Toy Story. I don't know. Anyway, great film. We'll talk more about it. We'll read some of your texts coming up next. Conrad's going to try to stay indoors, although it looks safe out there. You can never be too careful. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. More next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings from 7 till 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, though for men they're on air.
Looking black as coal. Children go, leaving food and shelter.
Radio WFHR. Home for the Todd Allbull Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Busted Pencils. Dr. Johnny presents a simple and clear argument for why we should fund public schools.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, yes. Director, Executive Director Beth Lewis, Save Our Schools, Arizona. The number's 855-755-3842. Sherry and more fun. Thank you for saying good evening, Johnny. We always love when Sherry's out there texting in to tell us hello. Appreciate that. Johnny Lupinacci. So we were talking about the vouchers. We say, you know, what's happening in your state with vouchers? So what's happening in Florida? What's happening in Wisconsin? What's happening in Ohio? Happening in Arizona sounds very much like what they kind of warned us about. So before we get into how vouchers are being used, I was wondering the question, like, why did somebody originally say, hey, we should give kids a voucher so they can go to private schools? What was the original thought there?
It's a complicated answer. I mean, if you go back to, you know, the segregation friend to public education and you know, not a good guy. But then if we look at sort of the modern iteration, there's been a lot of money poured into these fights across the states, and it's always starting with sort of like a sympathetic audience. Like, we want to help low-income students, we want to help children of color, we want to help students with special needs. And it's been proven time and time again that these special interests are really just trying to wedge open the door, right, to sort of condition folks in that state to maybe think that vouchers are a good idea. And they started in Arizona with special education students, but it's, you know, it's taken different pathways in different states. But bottom line,
locally
know that's
grown radio, WFHR.
No, the 24-25 Local and Love and It Mini magazine is available now out in your community. Once again, you can pick up your books at participating businesses and nonprofits. For just $20, you can enjoy recipes, jokes, contests, and best of all, save tons of money in the area. You can even find great deals on food, drinks, golf, groceries, and most of the area boutiques. In need of a service? Enjoy savings on tires, paint, windows, travel, and mobility equipment. And now you can receive $10 a month at Ho-Chunk Casino in Nacoosa. Don't forget, you can also play contests and win gift certificates within your community. Listen for Local and Loving It Radio ads throughout the month on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR and 105.5 FM WIRI. And get your books at businesses like Lake Arrowhead Golf, Goodfellas Pizza Pub and Eatery in Nacoosa, Ida Sports Bar and Grill, Quality Foods IGA at West Grand and Baker Drive, Savory Steakhouse and Kelmer, Sherwood Lodge Bar and Grill in Rome, and Sportsman's Pub and Grill. Let the savings begin with Local and Loving It Mini Magazine, available today.
So you're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio. Though,
you're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Real quickly, we kind of, you know, we're rehashing in one way a story that we've heard lots and lots of times. But the idea that Beth was kind of indicating here, the unaccountable or even the kind of no boundaries. So you as a parent, Johnny, you can now dip into $7,000 and do what you want with it. I was wondering what you were thinking about that.
Well, I think that's a flippant comment on how it works. But that's how sometimes news and radio works, right, Tim? It's not just you get to do whatever, although it's pretty loose in some places. And it's being tested out. And I'll match that with an equally flippant comment in politics.
Floor monitors.
For a long time, we test the boundaries in Arizona. We do it with radical conservatism. It's saying like, hey, let's see how far we can push it. And Arizona's led us in that. Like, hey, we can push the boundaries this far. We can have a neo-Nazi run for office. They might not win, but we can see how far. In Arizona, fortunately. And that's not to speak ill of the great teachers that I work with in Phoenix, that I work on, work with in Tucson. There's amazing people in Arizona. So when we talk about these places, you got to be careful not to be like the big bad Arizonans, right? Because it's not representative of the people of Arizona. And Beth can attest to that. She said, you know, never underestimate a mom, let alone a bunch of moms, let alone moms that are also experienced educators. Yeah, right. And so, you know, I think to kind of get back to that, though, to see these boundaries being tested in places like Arizona, in places like Florida, and now 12 states. Well, Oklahoma's a little different, right, because it's a tax cut.
That's cool,
because
I was just about
But there is a problem, and it's an education problem in this country. I don't agree with this particular solution. Something has to happen. Something has to be different about how we support good schools. Because no kid should have to go to a bad school. And right now, depending on either how you look, where you live, or how much money your family has, kind of determines what kind of school you can be in this country. So that just should never be the case. So we back way up and say, hey, if we funded our public schools, instead of tried these other things, and I'll get to my punchline, these other things are really not trial and error. They're intentional. And they're about creating a marketplace, more spending. Papers, you know, so that $7,000 tin tape, you asked me what I would do.
Yeah, and
it's economic stimulus.
I'm doing more singing these days, you know, so I don't have
camouflage of, hey, we're going to help families educate their kids.
You know,
really just want more money going into
it.
They want more basketball hoops sold. Because I think Beth hit the nail on the head. She said,
I saw Jeannie,
you know, like these are supposed to be fiscal concerns. They're not. They want money spent. Money spent, which is money made, but the big box stores and the industries that they're supporting. So rather than support a public municipal system where they say, like, hey, we have parks that we share, we have good PE curriculums, you can play rec basketball. In fact, we even have youth centers and things like that that may be nonprofit or community run, and we fund those through government, municipalities, and tax dollars.
So it's
right. Well, that sure sounds like a whole lot of Democrat talk, doesn't it, Tim? So that becomes this whole thing is like we want free market. Beth, you should have a hoop at your house. Johnny should have a hoop at his house. In fact, if we want our kids to swim, we should be able to buy swimming pools. And the case being made here, though, is that there is an educational component. Because I will tell you, as a STEM teacher, I've bought Lego sets. I think it's a great way to teach kids, right? I've taken kids to amusement parks, specifically as a high school physics teacher. I know, Tim, you know, like you're in Ohio, man. We went to Cedar Point three times a year. Right? So, I mean, but we also learned while having fun together. Those are great things that our public schools can do, and in fact, do better. And yeah, I'm saying it. Do better than we can individually. And you know this, Tim, like I've chosen homeschool in certain contexts. So I will say, like, it does cost more than $7,000. This is just money camouflaged to spend. Like, this is just like to get industry, to make more money, to get spending. It has nothing to do with improving education. It really doesn't. It's taking money away from things we really do need to invest in as a community.
Well, I think the context in Arizona matters too, where, I mean, all of our states are underfunded to a degree, but Arizona being 49th in per student spending in the entire country means like there is no fat to trim, right? So every time money leaves via a voucher, like it is leading to huge school closures, teacher layoffs. And so it's really, as a teacher, like seeing families taking out collectible Lego sets when we have to beg and scrimp and save and borrow in order to do just the absolute basics. Like as a PTO leader for my school this year, we were begging for copy paper and Kleenex.
See, it's Beth Lewis. Save our schools in Arizona. Boston County School Led at Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Hey, give us a call when we get back. Ask some questions here. We get you a big exposure. And a lot of this money they're going to, and we're going to hit this one back, unaccountable religious private schools. What's the issue there? More bus pens when we get back.
Busted Pen.
Pretzels is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings at 6 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Wobble.
CBS News brief, the Supreme Court will conclude its term tomorrow with a decision on presidential immunity. CBS's Jan Crawford doesn't expect full immunity to be granted when former President Donald Trump's election interference trial could proceed.
Jack Smith had those papers ready to go and say, he's conceded. This is unofficial acts that he could be prosecuted for. Let's get this trial going. And I think the judge could do that very quickly.
Beryl is on track to hit the Windward Islands early Monday as an extremely dangerous Category 4 hurricane. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
Hurricane Beryl continues to intensify, now a major Category 4 hurricane with winds of 130 miles an hour.
CBS News has learned that the Justice Department will propose Boeing plead guilty to fraud in connection with two deadly plane crashes involving its 737 MAX jetliners. Under the offer, Boeing may lead to independent monitoring of its compliance with anti-fraud laws. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Is this a new normal? Will we ever get back? Safety and separation where the wheels come off a track.
Another series win for the Brewers. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers beat the Cubs 7-1 to win the home series 2-1. Bottom of the fourth, the Brewers able to get past Cubs starter Kyle Hendricks with three consecutive singles. Then it was Bryce Durant at the plate on Valley Sports Wisconsin.
Tonight for the Major League lead in Grand Slam.
Have now hit five grand slams in their last eight games.
From Wisconsin,
two
Rapids
from Terran, who spoke
Sport.
After the game.
Yeah, news know, talk and sports is 97.5 FM.
The Cubs only able to generate Dude, one run on a solo home run shot, just two hits.
Songs well, about down.
Offensively,
not
I think, you know, it's one down. Run, so it's hard, it out. Every hard Sunday to see a scenario where that's going to win us a game. And, you know, no matter who we're facing, we're going to have to be better.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell. From American Family Field with sports, I'm Mike Clemens. CBS's Jan Crawford doesn't expect full immunity. Will be granted, meaning former President Donald Trump's election interference trial could proceed.
Jack Smith could have those papers ready to go and say he's conceded.
With your forecast,
this is
out, Corey Hartman. Clear tonight. Lows
for.
In the upper
40s. Let's get this trial going.
Mostly
and I think
cloudy,
the judge
breezy
can do that
for Monday.
Quickly.
Highs near 73.
Beryl is on track to hit
lows
the Windward Islands
Monday
early Monday
night
as an extremely dangerous Category 4
hurricane. Showers and
thunderstorms
hurricane. Are likely
CBS
for Tuesday.
Meteorologist David
high near 71. Breezy once again.
To intensify
sunny 80
now
on Wednesday. It's 73 at our studios.
With winds of 130 miles an hour.
CBS News has learned that the Justice Department will propose Boeing plead guilty to fraud in connection with two deadly plane crashes involving its 737 MAX jetliners. Under the offer, Boeing would agree to independent monitoring of its compliance with anti-fraud laws. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Weather is sponsored by Econ Electric LLC, your neighborhood Generac generator dealership. Don't let bad weather affect your power. Visit Econ Electric in Wisconsin Rapids.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Clear tonight, lows in the upper 40s. Mostly cloudy, breezy for Monday, highs near 73. Lows of 55 Monday night with a chance of a shower. Showers and thunderstorms are likely for Tuesday, with a high near 71, breezy once again. Sunny and 80 on Wednesday.
It's 73 at our studios.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the ninth inning. Bases loaded and up to bat. Can you hear that crowd? Here we... Aww. What just happened? Everything is dark. The lights are back on. Look at that.
Yes, the team invested in Generac generators from Econ Electric, so no one will miss a moment. Econ Electric is your neighborhood big league pro in Generac generators. Call Econ Electric at 715-423-8440 today.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far
Crude and Dumb
a second term.
Tune in Monday for
visit a better response
ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll find out if Joe Biden's got SEAL Team 6 on speed dial.
The Devil's Advocate. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download
Welcome back to this week's Civic Media Spotlight. To catch all of these shows live and to interact with hosts, be sure to download the Civic Media app available on the Google Play and Apple App Store. Now, we go to the Earl Ingram Show. Earl is joined by Omar Flores from the Coalition to March on the RNC to discuss the group's efforts to resist the restrictions put on the First Amendment.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I want to get into now with you two. I know we've already kind of discussed this, why you guys are in this band. I'd like to ask the rest of you what it was to join the Lizards, why you wanted to be a part of this band, work with these guys, and be a part of this. If I get to actually ask that question to the newest member, really, and start with you. Ben, with the 9,442 bands that you are already in, first, how do you master this? How do you have enough time to do all this and while looking so dang good? But also, more importantly, man, why did you want to be a part of the Lizards?
Well, first of all, it's 9,443 because, James, you and I are starting a band. You know, for the longest time, you know, I've seen the Lizards out playing and I've just enjoyed the music they play. Not only their covers, but noticing their songwriting, just excellent out of this world, and it's just a true honor to be a part of this band. You know, they're a band of brothers, and it's so cool to be sharing the stage and the studio space with them and rocking out. It's a dream come true. So thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
What was the question again?
Cold Fusion. Yeah. What made you want to be a part of the band? What got you into the Lizards?
Okay.
All that.
Well, I started off deeply rooted in the country scene around here. At 17, I was in a band called Whiskey River.
I didn't know you were. Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know that. Oh.
My dad was a guitar player in that band, and cool. They happened to need a drummer, and I got in, so... And then I got entrenched in that for many, many, many years with playing a lot of shows, and Whiskey River morphed into Austin Healey after some member change and stuff. I was filling in with a few country bands. And I was just kind of, I don't want to say stuck in that, but entrenched in that, whereas the rock side of the area, nobody really knew me, and I was kind of getting burnt out on, country's my roots, and I love it, but I was getting burnt out on that, and I wanted to do something a little more challenging. And I started going to jams at Holly Rocks, and that's where I met Jeff Goss. He was kind of the linchpin of those back in the day, as he was later on. But got up, and he was, you know, Jeff. I mean, he's very extroverted, and he wants to talk to everybody. And and he, I'm always, believe it or not, I'm kind of a shy, introverted person in public, and. But he encouraged me, didn't have any idea who I was, but yeah, get up here and play. And so the story he always told was, all I remember is when I first met Travis, he was behind the drums, I'd turn around and I asked him to play a shuffle beat. And Travis goes, what kind of shuffle do you want? You want a New Orleans shuffle? You want a blues shuffle? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, that's when I knew he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, right on, right on. That is
so
awesome.
Jeff is the reason I'm in this band, because he recognized that I could play a little bit, and... So you guys were looking for a fill-in, and that's when Jeff said, hey, I know this guy. I think he could fill in and do a good job. Right. So I played with you guys at Hunchy's Roadhouse, I believe, a couple times.
Yep.
And then Jack, I'm not sure the reason Jack left the band, but he left, and then you guys asked me if I wanted the gig, and I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. So
very cool.
Jeff is the reason I got in the rock scene.
Looking forward to certainly diving into that more with Jeff and everything, but that is a really cool story. Thank you, man.
Yep.
Jamie?
I'm actually going to include Jeff and fast forward a little bit. Jeff's the reason why I'm in this band as well. But I'm a Minneapolis guy. I grew up there, played in bands up there when I was younger, did jazz in college, jazz bands, and a little bit after college. And then I stopped playing for a while, took a little hiatus, had a couple of kids, and we ended up moving here to the Rapids area, and I was lost. Growing up in Minneapolis, living in big cities, so much to do, and now I'm here. And I thought, well, why don't I get back into music? And I got asked to do a benefit at Holly Rocks with the Recliners. They needed a temporary bass player, and so I joined the Recliners for a while, and Tom Clawson was the drummer. But before that, I had gone out to the Hotel Mead, I don't know, a year or two before, with a friend of mine that had come to town from the cities, and Lizards were playing. And I remember sitting on one of the odd couches at the Mead inside going, I want to be in this band, you know? And Milo and Mark had legendary names, the Lizards. I mean, again, you know, it's the history. And at one point, Jeff, and I had to back up the train a little bit here. When Jeff lived in Madison 20-some years ago, I had met Jeff at a show, got to know him briefly. And then when Grant Meyer was retiring, Jeff called me and said, hey, do you want to come down to the Lizards, Dan?
Maybe Grant Meyer being
the original
bassist.
Yep. And
the Lizards.
We need some help on bass. Do you want to come down and sit in and see if it works? And you know, so I don't know how many years later, then I see Jeff again, and I've been keeping the seat warm for Grant ever since.
That is so cool. I appreciate all this so much, you guys. I just had to throw that in there again because this has been really cool to hear these stories and hear how they all connects. You're also making my job really easy because where I want to go next is Jeff and in the next albums and everything. So thank you for setting me up like good teammates always do. I appreciate that. Before we get into that, though, I do want to just touch on a couple of other places. One of my favorite things to do is finding the different influences as people have. We are, especially as creatives, it isn't as if it's just musicians that only speak to you, and that's the only influence you have. Certainly family members are part of that, too. I think that as an actor, I pulled on musicians just as much as I pulled on other actors because of the music that helps me get into a character or something like that. So I know that I pull from all kinds of different places, musically or just otherwise. What are some of your earliest and favorite influences that you've had? Ben, I'll start with you.
Well, like billions of other people, I would say the Beatles are the biggest influence. That band, you know. They were okay.
Heard good things.
But my brother Timmy was a huge influence on me. He taught me my first chords on guitar, and I thank him a lot for sending me on that route.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's so many. I'm a sponge when it comes to that stuff. Yeah. You know, that's cool. Oh, I like that. As you know, so it's like a scatterbrain thing for me. I guess it's more like phases for me. Like I have phases.
Yeah.
Like when I was young, it was the Elvis phase with Ronnie Todd on the drums, and my dad was a country guy, so naturally country stuff for me back then too. Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, Waylon Jennings, George Strait, Ricky Skaggs, The Who, you know, right on. Later on The Who, a huge Who phase, and probably still a Who phase. I love The Who.
Yeah, yeah.
And but probably my favorite phase was the 90s. Era with Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and Nirvana. And
now we're talking.
That stuff spoke to me and still does.
Going to spend the next hour talking about 90s music.
Yeah.
That's episode 3.
Yeah, there we go. Yes. So just hearing that and everything, it's funny because one of my favorite things about creatively is a character is a person's arc and how where they start here and they end up here and everything. I think of just loosely like a Trent Reznor, a guy that I was very influenced by again in acting even with his writing and his music and stuff. And they're doing the Nine Inch Nails and all that, and he's now an Oscar winner doing you know soundtracks for movies and everything. It's always cool to me to see where somebody starts, where they end up. We've heard plenty of people talk about the Beatles going from I Want to Hold Your Hand to Sgt. Pepper. But we do that ourselves, whether we're musicians or not. We start out with our parents' music or the music that we are handed and kind of eventually picking our own songs and our own music. One of the cooler things I've ever read about is the study of how music is a time machine. Like the stuff that we first picked when we were kids, that first album, that first song, whatever it was that we really got into that wasn't our parents' music, We could be driving around, haven't heard it for 20 years. It comes up on the radio. You're brought right back to that time. You know, they proved it scientifically how this happens. There's nothing else that does that. There's not a smell. There's not anything else that does that. Music does that. It's only fair and only just that we do that just as much as musicians do, that you hear other musicians want to, I don't want to play, I want to hold your hand forever. I want to do some other stuff. We also want to listen to some other stuff. We want to do other things. Jamie, how about you?
Well, I got to give a nod to my aunt, Joellen. You know, she had the musical instruments around at my grandparents' house, and certainly very encouraging. But musically, I mean, I'll echo Trav in that mine has gone through phases as well. But if I really think long and hard about the origins, I must have been destined to be a bass player early on, because my focus was two phase, Geddy Lee of Rush.
Nice.
You know, and Steve Harris of Iron Maiden. Mm. You know, both very prolific bass players, also writers. And there are bass lines that I'll play today. And Roger Waters of Pink Floyd, you know, not as prolific of a bass player as the other two guys. But I'll
play. Writer.
Yeah, yeah. I'll play, you know, I'll listen to our new album, or we'll play a show, and I'll rip off a bass line that I clearly stole from Steve Harris, you know, without even thinking about it. But on the other side of the spectrum, you know, keeping up with the Rush theme in songwriting, Neil Peart as a lyricist, however you pronounce his name, it's another hotly debated topic, to the point where, you know, in college I needed three more credits, and I made a pitch to my English professor, let me do a paper the entire semester on musical lyrics as a form of literature, and he bought it. He said, nice. Sure. And so I picked five albums with good lyricists, and I analyzed them and wrote papers, and I'm sure it was all wrong. But as a result, I wrote a letter to Neil Peart.
Wow.
And about a year later, I got a postcard back from him, a personalized, handwritten postcard. And this was before his personal tragedies, when he stopped communicating with all fans. And that's like a prized possession that he actually reacted to me writing a paper on, you know, some of his lyrics. And so those, aside from phases of music, this deep down, those are the roots of my influences.
Very cool.
Just think what you get on eBay for that.
That'll be cremated with me and tossed in
right
the
on,
lake.
Right on, man, yes. Milo, how about you? Early influences in general.
I'm pretty easy, because I had a narrow influence, and that's Beatles and Badfinger.
Right on, you know? Right on, yeah.
All the other stuff was great, but it wasn't a love, you know.
It was really low. So I love the Badfinger reference,
and then,
that's great.
Steely Dan came out, and that sound got me, because they were the first ones, I think, that had that pure sound, and he turned me on to them, so.
Right on. My mom liked jazz a little bit, but she was more of a blues fan. My dad, just classic rock in general and everything. I got into jazz really young. Miles Davis, just something about him, like, immediately pulled me in. And I will go to the grave feeling he's the greatest, maybe creative person I've ever heard of, let alone musician or anything like that. You don't create seven different types of jazz and you know, not have a pretty good legacy. But for the, as far as like bands that my dad got me into, that I ended up liking more than him, Steely Dan is the biggest one. We joke about it all the time, but I was really little. He had these big columns, and anytime he'd put Steely Dan on, I'd come crawling into the room and start dancing to Peg or something like that, or whatever, Deacon Blues or any of these things, to the point now where it seems like it's almost like air in some ways, where there's certain music I have to go back to listen to. Like, it just pulls me. And some of it is always like just Steely Dan. I don't really have a reason necessarily why, but man, it's been too long since I heard Black Cow. I got to listen to Black Cow. Just for some reason.
That was the first Steely Dan song I ever heard.
Really?
Yep.
Awesome.
Was suckered in ever since.
That bass.
And I'm more of a mellow guy, you know, music-wise, and I think all the different likes helps us.
Yes,
do what
you see where I'm going with this, Miley. Yes, yes.
So not to butt in, but this would have been the perfect opportunity for me to say something. You ever see that movie, That Thing You Do?
Yes, yeah.
This would have been the perfect time for me to say my biggest influence was Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters. Remember when they were being interviewed on
the
radio?
Yes, yes, that's perfect.
That's
damn it.
That's Ben's 9,144th gift on that.
Mark, how about you with influence? I say we've already heard a little Steely Dan in there. Is that
one
of them?
Yeah, I've been kind of going back, peeling back the years here.
or nice. Reeling in the years.
Good of you to pick a musician who was very laid back and not really too anal about music or anything. And Donald Fagen. That's really good. That's really.
But I look back and I know one of my first albums was a Huckleberry Hound and Quick Draw McGraw. Nice. And it was a cartoon translation onto vinyl. That was one of my pride and joys. And then I skipped way ahead to Herman's Hermits.
Ooh.
And then oddly enough, I went to the Woolco store in town here, and I picked up Led Zeppelin II. Mm. So Herman's Hermits to Led Zeppelin II. And I bought it not because I really knew a lot about the band, but the artwork looked dangerous. Mm. And... So I put it on, and it was literally the epiphany, because my parents had a little console stereo, but it was stereo, and I put that album on, and I sat down in front of the stereo, and Whole Lot of Love came on. Mm. And that middle part where it started to pan back and forth through the speakers, I'd never heard anything like that before in my life. And I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I like this.
Yeah.
And you, as a synth guy, that's actually very synthy too for guitar stuff then.
Yeah. And then it was literally this epiphany. Like I'm now a rock and roll aficionado from that very first needle drop. And then as I went through school, I went through high school in the 70s and stuff, and I did go through that phase of the virtuosos, the Rick Wakemans and the Keith Emersons. And, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer was just fantastic. Yeah, and Roger Powell, and Rick Wakeman and Yes, and Six Wives of Henry VIII and all that. So I was just blown away by that stuff. But it was one of those things where once you get to that point as a keyboard player, as an organist, I'm kind of like, and it sounds weird, is that all there is?
Yeah.
But because I was listening to a lot of other stuff, and I really got involved in the band. Mm. I was one of my only friends that really got the band, and I loved that stuff and Americana. And as I said, I grew up in a household that was listening to Jimmy Webb and stuff. So I realized that the role of a keyboard player wasn't necessarily this virtuoso thing. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool to be that. But I found myself really feeling happy being an ensemble guy. Mm-hmm. And my heroes, my kind of shifted a bit. I sing Ben Montentious praises from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. He's like the ultimate ensemble guy. It's simple. It's exactly what the song needs. Nothing more, nothing less. Take it away and the song falls apart. Yeah. But it's not like Rick Wakeman doing some sort of fantastic pyrotechnic jam. Mm-hmm. Chuck Lavelle in Rolling Stones. Mm-hmm. He's a great keyboard player. But in the Stones, he's playing what needs to be played.
Yeah.
So I think as I've listened to more and more different kinds of bands and different kinds of music, it's the ensemble guys that I really am inspired by.
It's unique to hear every one of your stories and your musical influences and that. I know, so growing up, I'm in downtown projects in Chicago and everything, and I hear the message on the radio for the first time, and I've never heard anything like it before. And hip hop is in my brain, and for the rest of my life, it's a art that I will love and respect. And I mean like real hip hop. I mean like actual writing. I'm not just talking about a bass line somebody says one word over or something. I'm talking about like Grandmaster Flash and everything from that to Tupac and to a lot of that. I got so into that, and I didn't like hair metal. I'm nothing against it. And part of what I love about music is there's all different kinds, and everybody can like what they like and stuff. But hair metal just was not my thing. I couldn't get into it. And I kind of thought that, well, hip hop is where my musical taste is going to be. I love jazz. I listen to that, but that's all I'm going to be into. And my family, Zeppelin is the family band for us. That's the one band that all of us agree on. We can all play. We're having a get together or something. You can put any of Zeppelin on and we're all right. I was early on buying albums and records, CDs, of course. And I saw Physical Graffiti And my dad had every Led Zeppelin album, but I didn't know that one that well. I didn't remember him seeing that in his vinyl. So I was like, all right, I'll grab that. And there was right away something from Into the Light that there was a rhythm there that I felt very R&B like, very, very smooth like and everything. And it got my head bobbing and everything. And before I knew it, I'm like bobbing my head to Jimmy Page and Bonham and all that. And it's like, oh, I do like rock. Oh, I am my dad's kid. Thank God. It was a relief. And it was right around that time that Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, all this stuff starts coming out. And that pulls me in. The Nine Inch Nails, a lot of that. I got into really early on The Clash. That was like one of the first bands that I heard that I actually thought The Clash was I didn't know they were punk. I thought they were R&B in some ways. I thought they were that kind of stuff. I didn't know music that well. My dad told me a lot of different stuff about it, but it was what he knew. He didn't know that much either. It's so cool to hear how I think we could pull somebody off the street and they'd have a similar story, that where they started with music, where they went. And to what Milo was touching on before, again, thank you, brother. Nicely done. All of this coming together, all these influences. If I went to you, what every one of you said that Elvis or the Beatles was your only big influence, that's cool, that's great, but I think we'd hear that in your music. One of the things I love about the Lizards is any album you pick up or any time we get to see you guys live, I know I'm going to hear good music, but I don't know necessarily, I'm going to hear this or I'm going to hear that. I know I'm going to hear music. That's what I know I'm going to hear. And I think that's part of what speaks to your legacy, part of why you guys have been popular for as long as you have, why this community and communities like ours love your music so much. That speaks to so many people. So many people can dig that. I don't think you could necessarily write that on paper and say, well, this is where how we're going to design our band. This is how we're going to do this. And we're going to put this here and this here. It just has to happen organically, I think. That's pretty cool to see.
Empty heart and an empty Drone Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.